B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Oh, it's the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Field up, 3 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Football Monday. It's a great Football Monday. The Eagles are in the playoffs. So I want an extra week of playoffs. You know, now the national team, people are talking about the Eagles. It's good. And then you're in Philadelphia, people are talking about your team. Still in the playoffs. That's one of the teams in the playoffs. It's better than not being in. All right, Football Monday. Brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for a heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to keep you warm this season. All right, right back to the phones. Bill on a cell. Bill, what's going on?
Hi, Mike. This is Bill from Ephrata, longtime listener and viewer.
Thank you, Bill.
Doing a great job down there. I'd like to say we're so happy for our Eagles getting that big win. But the thing I'm calling about is the happiness that we have gotten when we see Jerry Jones watching his monitor.
That was kind of priceless, wasn't it?
Luxury suite.
Did he say something?
And realize his Cowboys are done.
Yeah, he said something like, after they showed the Eagles scored a touchdown, and he turned and said, that's BS. But he actually said the words. I think he actually said that.
Right.
Oh, poor Jerry. He's got a decision to make. Now, he's supposed to meet with his coach today, like right about now, so we'll get word on whether he's got to go. I mean, you can't bring his coach back after that.
No, I don't see how it's going to happen, I just like it, like the feeling and know that Dallas is done and the Eagles are on their way in the playoffs.
Yes, even if it's only one game.
You bet.
All right, buddy.
All right, see ya.
All right, you got it. Carson Wentz against the Seahawks. All right, close your ears if you don't want to hear this. Carson hasn't fared very well against the Seahawks. 0-3 in his career against the Seahawks. His most losses without a win against any team. 5 interceptions against the Seahawks. His most facing any opponent. Total QBR, 40.8. The lowest of any team he's faced more than once. Does that have any application in this playoff game? Or do you just throw that out the window?
No, I could have application. And it's not like he has a star player necessarily who can make up for some things. No,
yes.
That's something to watch.
He hasn't been very good against the Seahawks for whatever reason. They're pretty good defense normally, and that whatever they've done has been able to shackle him.
Yeah, and I also think that I do think that when they played him, he was really having trouble going underneath. He really was still trying to push it downfield. Mm-hmm. I do think he'll take what the defense is giving him, that cliche. I think he's doing a better job at that. So maybe that'll be a little bit better this time.
Yeah, that was the game, of course, week 12. And in that game, 26.7 QBR.
Yeah.
And he dropped back 51 times in that game.
And that was 2 minutes.
Yes. And now we were questioning the game plan then.
Yes.
On what, there wasn't a balance to it.
Yeah, now Sanders' ankle, they say, is low ankle, not high ankle. So maybe he can go and you get a little running game going, get some balance.
All right, let's go. Jeremy in Collegeville. Jeremy, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Jeremy?
What's going on, Mike?
How are you, bud?
It's been a minute, man. It's been a minute. So I felt compelled to call in today because I was watching the game yesterday, and really we've all watched the last 4 weeks. And the only word that can come to my mind, honestly, is it was just absurd. It was absurd that they're beating any team. And a lot of people, you know, can downplay it and say, oh, it was the Redskins, it was the Giants. And yeah, they're bottom feeder teams. I get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the mighty Patriots just lost a meaningful game yesterday to the lowly Dolphins as well.
That was hard for me to believe. Yeah, it is. That things happen in the NFL.
And anything can happen. These are the best players in the sport. So I think you're down your two best linemen. You're down your top three wide receivers. The list goes on and on. It's absurd that they won this game. It's absurd that they're in the playoffs. It really is. And, you know, anything can happen next week. Everybody's 0-0 going into this game, and I feel like this team looks different than they did in Week 12. The quarterback's playing different.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, you got to be careful with the rose-colored glasses. Carson has played so well, and he deserves all the credit, but he hasn't played well in every quarter. He's missed some wide-open throws. He's made the plays when they mattered, but it's come down to the wire because of a little bit of inconsistency.
Yeah, but you can say that about every quarterback, can't you? They're not going to. They don't go 25 for 25 every game.
Yeah, you can.
They miss some throws.
I'm just saying, for them to beat Seattle next week, he can't miss that many throws. He's going to have to elevate his game even a little bit more.
Oh, I know. I agree with that. Obviously, he's the most important player on the field. So yes, I would agree with that.
And so the other point I want to make real quick, too, is that you got to give all the credit in the world to Coach Peterson and the rest of the staff. You know, they're turning rags into riches here. But my question as a lifelong fan is, what took so long? Why'd you bring Jordan Matthews in here when you had Greg Ward Jr. on the practice squad? What took you so long? Is it loyalty to these older players? Is it you don't feel like your development's there? Because clearly they deserve credit now.
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think it's a combination of things. I think part of it is the draft pick pedigree, that if you replace those type of guys, you make your organization look weak. I don't think that's the primary reason. I think the primary reason is that those guys on the practice squad probably didn't impress their coaching staff enough to earn play. And it wasn't until they got desperate where they had to play these guys that they saw what they had. And you can indict the coaching staff, you can indict the front office for not realizing that these guys would have been better alternatives than the guys you have. But again, there's a lot more that goes into it. It's like, you don't want to make yourself look silly. So you still believe in guys like Mac Hollins or Aguilar. And you don't want to make yourself silly when you bring in a guy who doesn't know the playbook. You're more comfortable with bringing in a guy like Ajayi or Jordan Matthews, because those guys you're not going to have to teach, and there's less likely to make a mistake. I can see all that mindset coming in. At the end of the day, they had to take a chance because they had no other choice, and it worked out for them. Alejandro in South Philly. What's up, Alejandro?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. How y'all doing?
Good, bud.
I talked to Tyrone a couple of days ago. I was at Miller Al House in South Philly, and I told him that the Eagles was going to beat the Giants 47-17. I don't know if he's still there. He said, yeah.
47?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Tyrone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was telling Tyrone, but this is the thing, that we got guys from the streets. You're saying we might not win the next game, but the thing is that they got pride in themselves. So Doug is feeding them something real nice, and these guys believing in themselves, and they believing in Wentz, and Wentz is doing the same. So my thing is, one game at a time. Like the guy called before, you said, you know, you never, it's 0-0 right now.
No, I don't know what you heard, but I think they can every bit win that first game. I said it's the second game they can't win.
I don't think Garoppolo is that good of a, you know, you look at
his stats. See, now you're getting crazy on me.
No, he has the same stats.
Yeah, I got you. 49ers are just an overall better team than the Eagles. Now, is it impossible? No. The Eagles will be a touchdown underdog in that
Mike,
game.
Tell me this. Do we have a better coach than the San Francisco 49ers do?
No.
Do we have a better running back coach?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
Wait, we have a better running back coach than the 49ers?
So, how is Boston Scott and Miles Sanders doing
let me ask you a question. Yeah. Did the 49ers have a better record than the Eagles this year?
Yes, they do.
You're talking like they're chopped liver
but
here.
I'm talking about experience in the playoffs. It's 0-0 right now. They don't have no
chance. Of course it's 0-0. You asked me my opinion. I don't think they win the second game. I hope they do. They're going to be an underdog.
I'm telling you they're going to win that game.
All right, well, you're being a fan, and I got it. Okay, I'm looking at it more realistically. I hope they can win the second game. I don't think they will. I think they can every bit win the first game. And it wouldn't disappoint me if they went in a second. To me, 49ers are a better team than them. It wouldn't stun me and that the Eagles wouldn't win game two. You know, they would have done enough. And then you just go in the offseason and you revamp your whole situation. You become better. Let's go to Steve in Kennett Square. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Steve?
I got two questions and one comment. First question would be, do you think Howie Roseman would consider Deuce Staley for offensive coordinator next year?
No, I think Groh's going to be back because of how they closed the season.
All right. And as far as the Eagles, I wouldn't call it luck. I just call it just guys who just fell into major roles and had to step up. Have you ever seen a team go through so many injuries at any level and achieve what the Eagles have achieved?
I'm sure there has been. I can't recall it, but I don't think it's like the first time ever that a team did this.
I mean, this is unbelievable. You got guys coming off the street, the scrap heap.
Steve, I agree with you 100%. They brought a new energy. But what I don't do is get carried away. They didn't really, they played one game that really tested them. And that was the Dallas game. They played the Giants twice and they played the Redskins in this span. So I don't get overly carried away with how amazing they did. They survived and that was great. But let's face it, the competition wasn't great except for that one home game against Dallas.
True. My comment, 2017, they were called the underdogs. I say 2020, we call them the replacements.
Okay, we can do that.
All right, man, thank you.
All right. Somebody's put that on Twitter already.
Yeah, Brandon Graham mentioned that last night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, but he was saying more like to kids, hey, keep on pushing, don't give up, that kind of thing. Like, because a lot of, like, especially Ward could have quit a couple of times, and he kept pushing. So he was using it as, like, a positive message for people out there, like, don't give up.
Listen, what they've done has been fantastic. It's not amazing. Like, if they go into San Francisco and beat them with this team, that would be the definition of amazing.
I don't know.
This is the definition of good achievement.
I think beating Seattle would be pretty amazing.
I expect. Listen, that line is in the realm of where the Eagles can win the game. Like the other lines are not going to be that slim.
Yeah, but I don't know how.
I don't think it's that amazing that they can beat Seattle. I think
legitimately at wide receiver, you're going to have Burnett playing a playoff game.
I get it.
That's amazing.
No, I actually think they can beat Seattle in this game. I really do. I don't think at all that they can beat the next team. I just don't. No matter who it is. Because that's where it ends. Like, then you're playing against Seattle is a good team, but they're flimsy good. The other teams have earned their position by getting that bye.
All right,
let's go. Paul in the Poconos. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike. I love that hat. It's a beautiful hat.
Yeah, I rarely do this, but see, I'm giving a tribute to the Eagles. Right, Nat? I rarely do this.
That's right. I can barely.
I wore a Sixer hat once, but this achievement in four games at the end of the year, I'm paying tribute to them.
Your hat's on, and that's good. And you know what, Mike? I'll tell you what. It's a good day to be an Eagles fan. But let me tell you something. You know, I've been listening to you. I listen to you every day. And you guys, you're usually right on. But you know what? I think this year, the football gods are with the Eagles. And you know what? It doesn't matter how far we get banged up or whatever. It's going to come to one game. And if you look at that last game with San Francisco, actually, San Francisco should have lost.
Can't curse, brother. Can't be cursing.
I mean,
people can say slip. I understand how the slippage happens.
They get very comfortable.
Yeah, they get comfortable. They get emotional. You know, are the 49ers a great team? No, they're not. They're not a great team. I think it would be a really monumental task for them to beat them there. If the game is here, any game they would play here, I would give them a chance. This is different.
I don't know.
Flying out to play a team, flying all the way out to the West Coast to play a team that's been resting, that's scouted, it's just too formidable. AJ, West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, AJ?
What up, Big Mike?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man.
What happened to you, AJ?
And you know they put
Your phone went out on me, so I didn't hear anything you said.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I tell you what, let me put you on hold because you're in a bad spot, probably. Lonnie in Galloway. What's up, Lonnie?
Yeah, Mike, you heard.
What's up, Lonnie?
Nothing much. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
Listen, I love your show.
Thank you.
I've been a long time Eagles fan, and I really think they've overachieved with the guys they got going now. I mean, it's amazing that these replacement players are playing the way they're playing. I know they're all NFL players, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And I don't think they'll beat the 49ers because they play the 49ers. But as far as beating Dallas, I'm such a fan of beating Dallas that when I was start watching football, and the Eagles would beat Dallas any time of the year, it was a great season for me.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't... The Dallas thing, again, I think we give them too much credit. That was a great victory for them. And it pointed out the difference in the hunger for both those franchises at this particular point. But, the Dallas thing, as long as they beat Dallas, everything's good. You really feel that way?
Oh, I have all my life, really.
I'm
50 years old now.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I started watching the Eagles, they were winning only two or three games a year.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, Dallas hasn't been good in a long time, though. Like, why would you give them that much credit?
Well, it's just a fan.
I get you. Yeah, they got a mess situation down there. Their situation's a mess.
Yeah. I mean, the team is in disarray right now. Jerry Jones needs to stop being the general manager. He needs to leave the football operations up to someone else.
Well, what was the great part about that game yesterday is that the Cowboy fans were hanging in there. Like, all of a sudden, Saquon goes bang for that touchdown, and the Dallas fans are banging, oh, the Giants can win this game, right?
Yep.
They dangled it right in front of them and snatched it away.
And all those ex-Cowboys in the media that picked Dallas that week, last week, plus people like Chris Broussard and all them, they all were on Twitter, all back in. And then they were all upset. Every last one of them. I love it. That's who I hate now. It's not the Dallas, not the Cowboys. It's all Damian Woody and all these ex-Cowboys that all weasel their way into the media.
Oh, Swagoo.
Yep. All I got to deal with all that.
Uh-huh.
And now you're chirping all week about, oh, they're going to lose to the Giants. Cowboys, don't count them out. And then that happens. All of you go away. All of you resign. All of you. Can't stand any of them.
All right. Is this really the number?
Yes.
So before, really, it was that high of a number?
Yeah, it was that high.
Carson Wentz's over-under number for passing yards this year in Las Vegas was 4,040.5 yards. 4,040.5 yards. He finished with 40.39. That's almost that's incredible.
Incredible.
Point and a half?
A yard and a half.
A yard and a half.
Over 16 games.
That is unreal. Well, listen, if you had the under, you cashed.
And here's the crazy part.
By the skin of your teeth.
His only injury all year was the concussion protocol in the Lions game.
Yeah.
That was the difference.
Wow.
Because he played every other. He played all the rest of the snaps. And I bet you if he cleats one pass, that goes over. Instead, he goes into 10. He doesn't have one. He comes back out. He goes right back in the game. That's just enough to keep him under.
That's amazing.
And none of his receivers had over 500 yards.
Yep, that's never happened.
Not a single one.
That's never happened before.
Not a single
guy
one.
Got 4,000 yards. And
not,
no receiver
not
with
one receiver had 500
that's
yards.
That's never happened to NFL history.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, he is the only player in NFL history to do that.
Even the Patriots. Like, this isn't like the Patriots usually have a slot guy who gets you 800 yards. This has never happened.
All right, so like we're all the Wentz detractors. Where are you? Know it's really funny because I happen to be watching First Take. I never watch First Take, so it was on today, and that Kellerman is still going down the Wentz hate train
because he's not clever.
It's unbelievable. Like at this point, you got to give it up, dude. You're making yourself look silly.
That's why if you're going to go out on a limb like that, you have to be clever so you can pivot out of it. He's not clever.
He's still going with the McNabb did it with no weapons. So what's the?
Did I
beat him up enough on that show? Did I not beat him up enough?
I thought you owned him. He's not even.
He's not showing the bruises.
Nah.
All right, AJ, back with us. Go ahead, AJ.
Hey, Mike.
What?
First off, I love stopping the cockroach Cowboys.
every year. My father's a Cowboys fan. It always been that way. I go all the way back to when the Cowboys was 1-15, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, watching with my dad. Come on now. I love killing them Christmas. Remember, they lost Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I love it. Now, I was telling you, when they came in our stadium, they had the Dallas Cowboys Division Champ 2019 shirts, just in case they won, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Really, they had their shirts on.
They had them shirts ready, just uh-huh. in case they won in Philly.
Uh-huh.
And they, of course, had them again. So I was thinking, there's going to be some children in some country somewhere, don't know nothing about football, going to get to get some free 2019 Dallas Cowboys.
Or Home Depot can market them as dust rags.
Right? And they get to come back and say, did the Cowboys win in 2019? No, they didn't. Let me tell you what really happened. Right. We've been better than the Cowboys for the last 3 years straight, Tuz. Way better. Where it's not no competition no more. Uh-huh. We're a better franchise. And I always keep my mind ahead. Now, I started looking at the last draft. You know the wide receiver for Kansas City, Mecole Hardman?
Yeah.
Number 17, uh-huh. Fastball. He was drafted one spot over the wide receiver that we got.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
This draft, we better grab receivers. And my favorite one, Henry Ruggs III. I'm already.
Oh, you're already going to give me a name, huh?
I know.
You always do this early. Henry Ruggs III?
Henry Ruggs III. I would take him with our first pick. And I think this is the year we need to get Carson his weapons. Cause
I think they're going to do that, AJ.
No, wide receivers getting yards. Imagine us get two receivers this year with Greg Ward and D-Jack next year.
Uh-huh.
Carson will have 5,000.
Yeah, I got you. So I'm going to keep my name on my mind on that name. Rush III. Who did he play for?
I don't know. I'm looking it up. It's not coming up.
No? Herman, no. Is it Herman Ruggs III? What did he say?
I think he got he said Henry.
Henry Ruggs III?
Yeah, that's not coming up.
No?
I think he got the name wrong.
Come on, AJ.
Derrick Henry got the Russian title, though.
Maybe that's what he got confused about. Did your mom used to use the old t-shirt for a dust rag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. My mom had the old t-shirt with the Lemon Pledge going all the time.
Yes.
Lemon Pledge and an old t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.975 The Fanatic.
You know what that music means? It means I just had a potato chip and I have to clear my voice. But it is time for Around the NFL. Five things that I noticed for the final week of the NFL season, and maybe one non-football related situation. So let's, by the way, it's brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast online at trainingcamp.com. Number five. See, it can even happen to the great New England Patriots. A win for the Belichickians would have gotten them the number two seed in the AFC. Instead, what? They lose at home to the Miami Dolphins? Yes, they did. And it was a Penn Stater who helped seal a Patriots' fate as Mike Gesicki snared a 5-yard TD pass from Ryan Fitzpatrick with 24 seconds left to win it 27-24. What a weekend for Penn State fans, Tyrone. First, their stunning victory over Memphis in the what's-his-name bowl, and then Gesicki. Anyway, I digress. The Patriots will now have to play a first-round game for the first time since 2009, and they have never won a Super Bowl when they play in a wild card round. It was a monster win for Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, who spent 15 years as a New England assistant before getting an NFL head coaching job. Here is the teeny pass to Gesicki.
Takes the snap. He's looking to the middle. He throws to the back of the end zone. Caught by Gesicki.
What a try.
Touchdown, Miami. 24 seconds to go. And the Dolphins have taken the lead.
What an unbelievable drive by Miami.
It was pretty unbelievable. In Patriotville, they win the game and take the Patriots out of a bye week. Man. Number four, meanwhile, Green Bay Packers. They just slid into a first-round playoff bye when they came from behind to beat the Detroit Lions 23-20. The play of the game was Aaron Rodgers' 31-yard pass to Aaron Jones. Here it is.
Pressure right away on Rodgers and just gets rid of it to Jones. He's got a seam. Aaron Jones into field goal range and more. Diving down near the 20.
That was a good call. By the way, was that Kevin Burkhardt? Is that who that was?
No, that was the local.
Was it local?
Yeah.
No, that was a pretty good call. Anyway, that set up a 33-yard field goal by Mason Crosby to win it. Rodgers said after the game, the Packers would be a tough team to deal with in the playoffs. I don't know. Threw about 55 times in the game. Completed 27 of 55. The Pack have Lambeau going for them, but I'm not sure about their playoff success, so we'll have to see. Number three, Falcons won again. All right, 7-9 must be acceptable in Atlanta, where ownership decided to keep coach Dan Quinn and not hire the likes of Matt Rhule, who's probably now going to get the Giants job. But it's fool's gold in Atlanta. Falcons were out of the playoff picture before they started to win. But they did beat Tampa Bay 28-22 yesterday. Matt Ryan threw 51 times to get his 313 yards. Game-winning play, Deion Jones pick six of Jameis Winston in overtime.
Touchdown for Tampa Bay. We'll win it.
Back 20!
Only 3 points scored. In the entire half,
there it is.
An interception for a touchdown. It's Debo Jones.
Wait, Jameis Winston threw a pick? He can't win with that dude. He's so erratic. All right, number two. What does John Tortorella have to do with football? Absolutely nothing. But his post-game rant following the Columbus Blue Jackets' loss to the Chicago Blackhawks was too good to pass up in this spot. Tortorella went nuts when he thought his team got jobbed by a clock operator. He felt there should have been time put back on the clock. As it was, the Blue Jackets scored a would-be game winner after time expired.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't care either. But Tortorella's a psycho, and we decided to play his rant.
The whistle is blown at 19.2 on the clock. For some reason, the clock has run down a second and a tenth to 18.1. For whatever reason, I have no idea. So instead of resetting the clock, we have them tell our captain we're not going to do it. Toronto doesn't step in. Refs don't do their freaking job. And now we lose the game and we lose our goalie. So the chain of events, if it was done right, we don't lose our goalie, we win the hockey game. So all this technology, right? The technology and getting things right, the stubbornness tonight by the officials and by the league and Toronto, however it's supposed to work, screws us. It's ridiculous.
You think they'll get fined, maybe?
A little bit.
Yeah, $1,000 for every time you pounded the table, Holmes. All right, number one, the Eagles will play host to the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. We all know that, of course. Seahawks lost to the San Francisco 49ers 26-21. Here's my question. I'm watching a game. Did the Seahawks want to lose this game on purpose? How else do you explain? Their offense gets to the 1 yard line in the waning seconds of the fourth quarter, and then they get a 5 yard penalty for delay a game? How's that happen to a good team? Anyway, that circumstance forced Seattle to try to get a touchdown from the six. And on fourth down, they fell short by a smidge on a pass from Russell Wilson to Jacob Hollister. Here's the play.
Wilson throws, caught. Hollister's hit on the goal line and dropped by Dre Greenlaw. He is short.
After review, completed pass receiver was down short of the goal line.
49ers win!
Francisco will take over on downs. First down.
The 49ers have won.
That's an awesome call, too. Now, we'll leave you this. Wilson, as I told you before, has had three sub-30 QBR playoff games since 2012. Maybe Sunday will be one of them. Delay a game at the one? And if around the NFL is brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast online at trainingcamp.com. What do you think the heat would have been on Doug Peterson had the Eagles been in that situation and got to delay a game at the 1 yard line?
It's
mind boggling.
I don't know how that happens.
And I'm watching the clock going down. I go, did they not know there's a play clock going on down here? They weren't even close to being ready to run a play.
That's that coach's one weakness. If the Eagles get them in a situation like that, they'll win the game next week. Oh, that caller, he meant Henry Ruggs.
The guy from Alabama.
Now, he can play.
Yeah, Ruggs, not Rush.
Any of those Alabama guys, that's what they have to start doing. No more Pac-12 receivers.
Yeah, get a kid from the SEC. I have no problem.
Or Big Ten, either one.
All right, let's go Jake in Harrisburg. Jake, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jake.
Hey, Mike, happy Monday to you again. I'm unfortunately dealing with the same thing you are right now a little bit.
What's that, babe? We'll sinus cold?
A little bit. Yeah, just a little bit, unfortunately. But anyway, I was going more towards this next week. I'll backtrack a little bit. On Max Kellerman, what the heck? When you went against him, he literally said to you, if they can do it, if Carson can get it done against Dallas, I'll relinquish some of this. He didn't relinquish anything.
He went in harder. Like I don't understand the guy. It comes a point in time where you look silly if you don't give it up.
He looks tremendously silly, and now he's saying the exact same thing he did before the Dallas game. Oh, if he can go into Seattle and do it, then you know what? You'll make excuses for it after, even if he does get done in Seattle. I don't believe a word you say. You know, it's outlandish.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I had to bring that up once you brought up Max Kellerman's take, because I was just pounding.
Yeah, Orlovsky's been going at him pretty hard on this whole thing, but I think guys like this, they grab a narrative and they have to, they create a character as the bad guy and they have to keep that narrative.
It looks more fake with him against Orlovsky kind of in realist.
Yeah.
It just looks like a kind of like a duo that they're just kind of going with it for now. Anyhow, to Seattle, I kind of throw out the stats from before, and especially the game this season, because you even came on after the Seattle game this year, and you said that Wentz had, what, Gumby arm or whatever it was, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
he had 2x4 arm.
Exactly.
Gumby arm is what he needed.
Yes, okay, yes. 2x4 arm. Well, in that game, he was playing with the likes of, you know, Alshon, Aguilar, dealing with the drops, trying to overdo everything. And you could see it just affecting his confidence. And you saw the difference between what he had then and the hungry dogs that he has right now.
Yeah.
And the hungry guys that are playing for him and looking up to him, like Doug Peterson said yesterday, he's like a 13-year vet.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're looking at him in a much different light. So I don't see Wentz having a performance anywhere near what he did earlier in the season against Seattle, with the guys that he's playing with now and then the guys that are playing for him.
Mm-hmm.
and the concentration that these guys have, they're not dropping passes. You know what I mean? They're going out and getting them.
Their whole existence is on the line. That's the difference. You know, those guys are going, if I don't catch this, I get no more shot in the NFL. Like, it's the desperate act that they have to complete.
Hey, exactly. I'm 100% with you on, I 100% believe that they can beat Seattle. I think San Francisco is way too good, but anything can happen in the playoffs. We're here, and mm-hmm. that's really all we can ask for at this point as an Eagles fan.
I hear you. All right, bro.
Thanks, Mike.
You got it. Yeah, these guys are saying themselves that line from Bull Durham. Beats working in Sears. Right?
Yes.
Good to be in the NFL, grabbing a salary, play football.
Yep, now you're going to get to play a playoff game.
Yeah.
Tons of extra film.
Exactly. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. The Mike Mussinelli Show coming up. Brian Westbrook at 4 o'clock. His views on yesterday and what their chances are now. Mike Mussinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
3:47, Mike Mussinelli Show. So we got the Boston Scott, we got Greg Ward, we've got Rob Davis, and we've got our current favorite, Deontay Burnett.
Who?
That's right, Deontay Burnett. They're all coming through. They're all hungry. Now, the big thing next week, hopefully Miles Sanders is 100%. Yeah, that's a major factor. Because there's one thing getting through the rest of a Giants game with Boston Scott carrying the load. There's another thing playing in the playoffs against the Seattle defense. So you need Miles Sanders. Back at it with Hank in South Philly. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Hank?
Happy holidays to you, man.
You too, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I wanted just to say that early, I agree with you. I'm a realist, right?
Mm-hmm.
I give them a chance against Seattle, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to the 49ers, I'm like you, Mike. You can't say they're not a good team because they are.
Yeah.
You know, and for the guy to say, well, Jimmy Garoppolo is playing great.
He is.
You know, and the bottom line is we have to learn how to give credit where credit is due. Sometimes as Philadelphians, we just like so Philadelphia minded that we just forget other things Correct. Don't matter.
I can see that happening. It's a provincial fan base type of thing to do. But, you know, the guy who called about that earlier said, well, is Doug Peterson a better coach? Well, I don't know. That guy's a pretty damn good coach out there.
Exactly.
You know, he's got him in a bye situation. So I can't say that he's not a better coach. And the coordinators,
like
their coordinators did a good job this year in San Francisco. They're an overall better team.
Yeah, and they are. And let's be real, right? Yesterday was a good game. And I told your producer who answered the phone that I wanted to talk about the Eagles defense in the second half.
Yes.
It seemed like they came alive and it was like they were flying all over the place, you know?
Yes, I totally agree.
A couple of mistakes.
And that has to do with Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins sets the tone for that defense.
Exactly. And I was so happy for Fletcher Cox. You know, I was glad he didn't roll into the end zone, though. You know, because then that would have been what? Safety or 2 points?
No, that would have been a touchdown. Yeah, that would have been a touchdown. The quarterback contacted him as he was going down.
Right. But, Mike, I just wanted to say, like, I talked to Anthony Gargano last week for the first time, and I know a couple people he knows because I used to deliver food from Cosby's in South Philly.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And I was telling him how I always talk to you, and I get a kick out of talking to you because you're not like some other guys that's on TV or the radio. You're a realist. Like, Max Kellerman gets on my nerves, too. You know, and the bottom line is he said that Tom Brady was going to fall off a cliff 4 years ago.
I don't normally care what Max Kellerman says, to be honest with you, because, you know, I obviously like Stephen A. a lot, but I don't really watch that show much. But I was on the show, and he's got this. I'm trying to figure out if he really believes it or he's playing a shtick. I can't figure it out with him. But at this point, it looks like he's just playing a shtick because the guy has now survived. This quarterback has survived, and the numbers are what they are. Those last four games on what he did. And no matter if it was against inferior competition or not, he had to figure out a way to do that, to lead with a team that was really depleted. So at that point, you got to give it up and go, you know what? He did a pretty good job.
I think he believed it. I just don't think he knows a lot about sports.
Well, you might be right.
I think he knows about boxing. I don't think he really knows about sports. He's like a generalist when it comes to sports, and he got himself into a hardcore corner.
Yeah, he plays old narratives.
Yeah, he's not very good at that kind of thing.
Yeah, all right. Michael on a cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Michael.
Hi, Mike. How are
What's
you?
What's up, Mike?
Happy anniversary?
Happy New Year?
It was my anniversary last night, as a matter of fact.
Was your anniversary last night?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Congratulations, Michael.
Thank you.
How many years, Mike?
Wow, it's 45.
45? God bless you.
Yep.
That's awesome.
One thing I want to start with is Nittany Lion.
By the way, if you times mine by five, you get to 45. But that's all right.
Micah Parsons is insane. I mean, this guy, I've never seen anything like it. I would love to get him here to Philadelphia. You think he'll be around?
I'm sorry, who are you talking about, Michael?
Micah Parsons.
Right? Oh, Micah Parsons, Penn Stater?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's certainly going to be a high pick. The Eagles will have a shot at him, maybe second round.
I would like to, because in all the decades of
He won't be a second rounder. He'll be a first round pick, won't he? Micah Parsons. I don't know what his rank is right now. He's a pretty complete linebacker.
Absolutely. And we don't have linebackers.
Yeah.
Half the time I don't even hear names of.
Yeah, he'd be a monster in a 3-4.
Yeah. And one other thing.
Played at Penn State. He's a first round pick. Micah Parsons. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael. What was your final thought?
We as a team, the Sixers, they 4 minutes, they can be up by 20 points and they can lose. I've never seen anything like that.
Who are you talking about now? The Sixers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they're inconsistent. On the road, they just, they're not the same team. They don't play with the same swagger. So you're playing at Penn. Are you trying to mock the fact that Penn State was the JV game to the varsity football games of that day?
They won.
On Saturday?
That's why I disagree with you. The Cotton Bowl is one of the big New Year's Six bowls. Like, that's a big bowl game.
The Cotton Bowl means nothing when it's held on the same day of the Final Four games.
It means everything.
It's a cocktail weenie.
It's as good as the Rose Bowl.
It's what it is.
As good as the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl will be played on New Year's Day. That's just happenstance.
First of all, it's not as good as the Rose Bowl. Second of all, I don't even care if it's as good as the Rose Bowl. It's not the Final Four.
Well, Ohio State lost. You got that?
They did lose.
Close game?
Yes.
Kind of got jobbed a couple times.
Ohio State is like Dallas to me. They lose, okay, but it's not going to make my whole season.
Yeah.
You know, Penn State beat Memphis.
The top of the group of five.
It was a good win for him.
Good fun game to watch. I enjoyed watching it. Fun game to watch, Mike. You get very angry about your squad not being in that top four.
I was going back and forth with my college roommate. And, this is I'll do this in the 4 o'clock hour so we have more time to think about it. But he turned into a soft Penn State fan right before my eyes.
Oh, he's giving you
he's going down that whole rant about how, whoa, they weren't expected to be this good. Yeah. And come on, man. He got infected too.
Ohio State wasn't supposed to be that good.
Happy Valleyitis he got infected with.
Well,
Mike Mussinelli, Chef Ryan. Brian Westbrook coming up at 4 o'clock. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.